Thank you for listening to this sermon from Arapahoe Road Baptist Church. We hope you enjoy the teaching of Dr. David Rogers, lead pastor of Arapahoe Road. For more information about our church and its ministries, please visit arapahoeroad.org. And now, here's Pastor David Rogers.
So what'd you get, Natalie, for Mother's Day?
Well, nothing yet.
You know it's tomorrow, right?
Yeah. Oh, we have this thing. I take Hayden to the drugstore. He picks out something he thinks his mom would like.
So cute.
You should see her face when she opens those gifts.
So last year, I got batteries and this.
What is that?
No idea. But I love the expressions that they make when they think that I'm using the gifts that they bought me.
She loves that thing. And you know the best part? Drugstores open 24 hours a day.
Hey, buddy, wake up. We gotta go shopping.
You forgot Mother's Day again, didn't you?
Mine's a little more complicated. Unfortunately, I married into her family's long tradition of epic Mother's Day gifts.
Bill? A new car?
And now Mother's Day just makes me sweat.
A diamond tennis bracelet?
She doesn't even play tennis.
France? France?
Man, you really overthink this Mother's Day thing.
I had a really great idea for Mother's Day this year. Daniel was gonna make this great card, then the glue spilled, and the glitter spilled, and it spilled all over the dog, and that dog will never be the same.
And as much as I try to explain to Dave that my father's just making up for years of being absent, but he still completely stresses over Mother's Day.
And then I just panicked. I ended up buying her an eed-weeder, a feed-weeder.
Weed-eater?
She likes to garden. I cannot give my wife something that eats weeds. Why can't I stop sweating?
Calm down, my man.
Hello?
Just think of a gift that reflects who she is as a mother.
That's a problem. There is not a gift out there that would even come close to show
her what an amazing mom she is.
What kind of gift says...
No, no!
Something about nail polish?
Got it.
Got it? I got it!
He just shot me.
Lost all your weenies.
Oh.
Mom, have you seen my...
Got it.
Howard, thanks.
Hey, buddy.
Could you tell me more about God?
You got it. Thanks for waiting.
They let me go today. But it's okay.
Right. God's got this.
Yeah. God has blessed me and the kids, this wonderful woman. How do you wrap that up and put a bow on it? She is the gift.
I heard you loud and clear. You love and appreciate me. That's all I need. No bill required.
What are you talking about?
You pocket called me. Sweaty.
Oh my, no.
Thank you.
Hey, babe.
I mean, we're still good with that whole drugstore thing we got going on, right? Ow. You still there?
Moms, you're awesome. We love you. If you're a mom, you're in this room and you're able to, would you stand? We just want to honor you and say that we appreciate you. Would you help me to appreciate all these moms in this room? Thank you so much. I just want to pray a blessing over you. Would you join me in prayer? Lord, we love you and we love moms. We know that as much as we love our moms, we can't even fathom how much our moms really love us. And I'm just grateful for each one who's here. Lord, I know that for some, this is the first Mother's Day where they're not with their mom. Maybe mom's with you. Lord, we just pray that those memories of mom would be honored today. We thank you for each special lady who has impacted so many lives, who are present in this room, and those who aren't even present in this room. Lord, you're bringing them to our minds right now as we're praying, and we lift them up, and we say thank you, and we give honor to them, and we give glory to you for them. Thank you for each one of the mothers who are here today. Lord, we pray that you'd bless them, we pray that you'd protect them, and we pray that they would leave this time together today knowing how much we really, really appreciate them. Lord, surround them and bless them like only you can. And I pray that this would be an incredibly happy Mother's Day for each one here. In your name we pray, amen. Thanks, moms. As you're being seated, would you take your Bible? Would you turn with me to Exodus chapter 20? Exodus chapter 20, if you're using the Bible in the row in front of you, is going to be on page 61. That's toward the beginning of the Bible. If you don't have a Bible, if you'll come and see me in the Home Life Center when we're finished this morning, I'll give you a brand new copy to call your own. We want everybody to have their very own Bible, and that is one of the real highlights of my day, to be able to give somebody a Bible who would like to have one. So Exodus chapter 20, when you get to Exodus chapter 20, you may see a title above that chapter in your Bible that says the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments. The contents of this chapter are some of the most well-known and recognizable words that are found in the whole Bible. And so in a very real sense, these are the words that God set in stone. These are the words that God set in stone. He gave these words set in stone to Moses on Mount Sinai. And they have stood the test of time, and they're still chiseled into much of the structure of our society and our world today. And for whatever reason, God, in his infinite wisdom, decided to set in stone the Ten Commandments. He didn't set in stone 15 commandments or 20 commandments or 100 commandments. God, in his infinite wisdom, set in stone 10 commandments. And they become the basis, the foundational basis for living life the way God intends for all people to live life. And within that top 10 list, within that top 10 list that God has set in stone, we see that he says something very direct that needs to be priority concerning some very special people in our lives. Look with me in Exodus 20, down in verse 12, where it says this: honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. It's the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I mean, think about that with me. Of all of the things, of all the things that the Lord could have set in stone, one of his top 10 deals with moms. Moms and dads, parents. He set it in stone. It was so important that God set it in stone. How we honor our moms is a big deal to God. The Apostle Paul later would go on to quote this famously important passage when he's writing his letter to the church in Ephesus. You don't have to turn there. It'll be on the screen in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 3. Paul quotes what God set in stone, and he dusts it off for his friends in this city of Ephesus so that it was clearly seen as a priority commandment from God that deals with our parents, that deals with our moms. Look what Paul wrote. He said, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord." Why? Because it's the right thing to do. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And then he quotes what God said in stone. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. That you may live long in the land. I'm not a Greek or a Hebrew scholar, but I do know enough of the loose translation there. And the loose translation of that last part of verse 3 goes like this. If mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. That's basically what that means about that it may go well with you, that you may live long in the land. If mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. If mama is happy, man, it may go well with you. If mama is happy, you may get to hang around for a while. Now, I'm indebted to Jonathan Connor. I want to share some of the things and thoughts that he shared about moms that I came across in my research and my study about how important this high calling of motherhood really is. So today, if you're not awake yet, if you haven't had a full cup of coffee yet, today is Mother's Day, and we're called to honor our moms. Kids, draw me a picture this morning, not for me, but for your mom. Draw a picture for your mom this morning of why you love her so much. Why do you love your mom? Maybe you want to write some words on that picture that you think about when you think about your mom. Draw that picture. Usually, I invite you to put it on the board out in the Home Life Center so I can see your artwork. But today, I want you not to do that. I want you to give that piece of artwork, that picture, with those sweet words of affirmation, those sweet words of why you love your mom, why you appreciate your mom, why you want to honor your mom, and give that to your mom. Your mom will treasure that for many, many days. And so draw that picture today and give that to your mom. And friends, as I prayed earlier, even if your mother is no longer living, you still can honor her memory. Man, I love my mom. I had a chance to talk to mom yesterday, and you go, "You're not going to call her today?" I can't really talk to her today because dad gave mom a great Mother's Day present, and they are on a cruise ship, and they're headed out somewhere in the Caribbean where they have no cell phone signal. So that's a glorious gift that mom and dad both are enjoying. But man, I had a chance to just tell mom, "I love you. I appreciate you. Thank you for not giving up on me. Thanks for all the things that you did for me, to me, while I was growing up." Allison and the kids are with her mom this weekend out at her place, out at her mom and dad's place, and they're honoring Allison's parents. And so, you know, what that meant was we went to two volleyball games and a baseball game yesterday morning, and then they took off, and I had to go back home and watch sports. Somebody had to do it. I miss my family when they're not with me, but I catch up on a lot of sports when they're gone. My mother, she taught me so many godly virtues throughout my childhood. They've stayed with me even to this day. I mean, I can't imagine where I'd be or who I'd be without my mom. I mean, she's the one that taught me to pray. I can still hear her saying, "David, you better pray that comes out of the carpet." She instilled a sense of imagination in me. Don't do that again, or else. Or else what? Imagination starts running wild. She taught me to anticipate. Just wait till your father gets home. Okay? She taught me how to count. You know where this is going? Even if it was just a three. One, two. You have a parent like that taught you to count? Boy, I hated three. Taught me repentance. Don't ever do that again. I won't. Taught me self-control. Don't touch anything. And sometimes she'd marry self-control with imagination. Or else. Had a great mom. Have a great mom. Seriously, I love my mom. Motherhood is a great and godly vocation. In fact, it was the great reformer, Martin Luther, not Martin Luther King Jr., Martin Luther, who explained this commandment that we read just a moment ago. You know, that one of the ten that's set in stone. Luther had some really poignant words to say about honor your father and your mother. Listen to what Luther said. It's on the screen. He said, God has given this walk of life, fatherhood and motherhood, a special position of honor, higher than that of any walk of life under it. God distinguishes father and mother above all other persons on earth. Check this out. And places them next to himself. Powerful words. What's Luther saying there? What Luther's saying is that in God's eyes, motherhood is higher than any walk of life. Let that sink in. Motherhood is higher than any walk of life. Now, sometimes our world tries to tell women, you need to do something important with your life. And I think God would come right alongside that and say, what's important is staring at you across the table. I know for some that statement really connected, and for others it may have offended. Either way, would you be open enough to hearing me out this morning and then deciding whether or not to amen what I'm preaching about concerning what God says about mothers? Because I really do believe that in God's eyes, there is no vocation higher than parent. Think about that with me. Use your mind this morning. Love God with all your mind. Think about what we're talking about here. See if you agree. Is the vocation of teacher higher than parent? Just think about that. I mean, why does the vocation of teacher even exist? Well, it's to assist parents in teaching their children. And so the vocation of teacher serves the vocation of parent. What about the vocation of doctor? Think about that vocation for a minute. Who does a doctor serve? Families. The vocation of doctor may pay more than the vocation of a parent. But the vocation of doctor exists to serve parents and family. Think about government. There's a lot of talk and stories about government going on right now. Think about important positions like president, governor, secretary of state, speaker of the house. Are they more important than parent? Think about it. What's the role? What's the purpose of government? It's to commend those who do right and to punish those who do wrong. That's what God's word says in places like Romans 13. Over in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 14, it talks about the role of government. In other words, governments exist to protect and to defend families, to pass policies that enable mothers and fathers to be mothers and fathers. Government exists to serve the vocation of parent. There is no vocation higher than parent. And we know that. Why? Because God set it in stone. That's why we know that. That's why we can make a claim like that. And even folks who aren't parents yet or may never be parents, even those folks who are parents but they're empty nesters who've already raised their children and now their home is quiet for a change, they aren't somehow devalued. They've got a great opportunity to come alongside and be the family of God and to help and assist families through tangible works of service, whether that be their own kids or their grandkids or whether it be the kids of friends. You see, it's not the people who serve in the vocation of parent are somehow more important than the people who don't. People are people. People are equal creations, and if they confess Christ, they're equally redeemed, whether you've got kids of your own or not. But what the scriptures teach is that the vocation of parent, the vocation of parent is more important than any other vocation, and that the proper ordering of vocation places fatherhood and motherhood on top. That's what the scripture teaches. And yet, we live in an upside-down world at times, do we not? Yeah, we do. That's not a trick question. Sometimes this world, you read the headlines, you watch the news, and you just go, what? That happened on this planet that I'm living in? You're kidding me. We live in an upside-down world at times. I mean, some, not all, but some in our world tell women motherhood is a hindrance. Children are a drag. Children will hold you back. If you want to do something important with your life, if you want nice stuff, you're going to have to limit those things. So, what do they offer women? Deliverance from this burden of children. How? Well, through the legal opportunity and social expectation to exercise, quote, a woman's right and, quote, choose fewer children. Now, not this child, or no child right now, or no children ever. But men and women, we need to hear truth this morning. Children are not an interruption of a parent's life work. Children are a parent's life work. They are. And every other vocation in which a parent might serve exists to serve the vocation of parent. And as important as other vocations are, and they are important, they are very important, and God calls men and He calls women to serve in a sundry assortment of them, we cannot mislead men and women into thinking, well, this vocation over here is what's really important, or that occupation over there really needs me, or this calling that I have is what's really important. motherhood and fatherhood matter more than any other. And so God calls us to honor our fathers and our mothers, and to make sure it didn't get erased or typed over, he set it in stone. He set it in stone. Listen to Martin Luther again on this commandment to honor fathers and mothers that God set in stone. Luther says, "It is a much higher thing to honor than to love. Honor includes not only love, but also deference, humility, and modesty directed, so to speak, toward a majesty concealed within them." Did you catch that last phrase? What an amazing phrase. A majesty concealed within them. See, the vocation of mother is adorned with resplendent majesty, but it's concealed, hidden from eyes unredeemed by Christ. Unredeemed eyes may still love and honor mom, but many, not all, many don't see motherhood as this honored position next to God himself that Luther talks about. And that's why there are some who consistently are saying, pursue this, chase after that. Here's what really matters. And that's why there are many who keep pushing unfamily planning. Some don't see the majesty of motherhood. And some think 1,000 different professions and 1,000 different positions and 1,000 different careers are more esteemed than motherhood. And God's word says they're not. You don't get higher from a vocational calling than motherhood and fatherhood. How do we know that? Say it with me. Because he set it in stone. He set it in stone. Now, please don't mishear me. Please don't mishear me. I am not saying women shouldn't work outside the home. You know my story. I'm married to an amazing woman who's a full-time teacher that's getting ready to give the STAR test on Monday and Tuesday. Pray for her. Pray for our teachers. And pray for our kids. And my wife loves to work. She loves her career. This is what God's called her to do. But not before motherhood. Not before motherhood. Man, teachers, they're underpaid, they're underappreciated, so please hear me clearly. I am for women, whether you're a teacher or a doctor or whatever it is that you do. I'm for that. I'm for women fulfilling their careers and their callings in life and their leadership that God's entrusted to them. Some of the greatest leaders I know are great women of faith, and I appreciate you. And I'm for you and I pray for you. Step into that calling God's given you. Don't shirk it. Step into it and balance it like only you know how to do as a mom. God gives moms supernatural juggling abilities. And he will show you how to be who he's called you to be. But it will not leave motherhood in the dust. Motherhood always is the priority vocation. I'm also saying that some of the greatest vocation isn't found somewhere out there. It's found in the hungry eyes of an infant and in the inquisitive stare of a child and in the hopeful gaze of a youth and in the confident stride of a teenager and in the independence of a young man or woman stepping beyond the bounds of home for the very first time. Motherhood matters more than any other vocation on the planet. Consider these words from theologian Joseph Cardinal Mincency. He said, "The most important person on earth is a mother. She cannot claim the honor of having built Notre Dame Cathedral. She need not. She's built something more magnificent than any cathedral, a dwelling for an immortal soul. The tiny perfection of her baby's body. The angels have not been blessed with such a grace. They cannot share in God's creative miracle to bring new saints to heaven. Only a human mother can. Mothers are closer to God, the Creator, than any other creature. God joins forces with mothers." Isn't that good? Wonder twin powers activate. God joins forces with mothers. You need to be reminded of that, Mom. God joins forces with mothers in performing this act of creation. What on God's good earth is more glorious than this, to be a mother? You can't find the answer that goes beyond mother. Consider the question of the great thinker and writer G.K. Chesterton. He's writing about how vast, about how huge, about how important the vocation of mother really is. He writes, "How can it be a large career to tell other people's children about the rule of three," referring to some kind of mathematical problem, "and a small career to tell one's own children about the universe? How can it be broad to be the same thing to everyone and narrow to be everything to someone?" No. A woman's function is laborious, but because it is gigantic, not because it is minute. I will pity Mrs. Jones for the hugeness of her task. I will never pity her for its smallness. As I read that, I thought about when Allison was a stay-at-home mom before she went back to teaching, and she'd be there with Jack, and then when we had Lucy, and they're 19 months apart, and I come bebopping in from work, and it's just like, here. We didn't have any money. I'm going for a walk. Because that's free. Huge, vast responsibility. I mean, just consider the hats that mothers wear. Chef, dietitian, nurse, philosopher, cosmologist, mathematician, physician, lawyer, judge, spiritual director, moral compass, teacher of discernment, aesthetics, temperance, and modesty. She's a life coach. She's a personal manager. She's a home organizer. She's a chauffeur. She's a referee. She's a head janitor. And she's an example of faithfulness and respect to her husband. In short, a mother is a shaper of souls for time and for eternity. And her calling, along with fatherhood, is the greatest and highest vocation on earth. And the church of God, folks, it's time for the church of God to rightly extol the vocation of motherhood. And it's time that we finally saw the resplendent majesty concealed therein. There is no greater vocation on earth. Motherhood is God's chosen means to bring children into this world. And likewise, through parents, don't miss this, to bring children into Christ's kingdom. That's why I stood right down here at the beginning of our service and told you, reminded you, encouraged you that one of the goals here at Arapahoe Road, one of the initiatives at Arapahoe Road, is growing strong families. And then I said, the primary disciple makers of your children are not the church leaders, it's the home makers. It's mom and dad. You are the primary disciple makers for your children and for your family. Why? Because God gave them to you. And because you have so many more moments of influence than I do, than Dan does, than George does, than Scott does, that our volunteer teams do here at church. We want to come alongside you to help equip, empower, and entrust that responsibility to you. But God never intended for you to outsource your parenting. He intended for you to grow strong families and be the primary disciple makers in your home. And that's why we keep bringing it back around to one of the strategic initiatives here at Arapahoe Road is growing strong families. And so, yeah, we want to teach what the scriptures say, and we want to have age-specific ministries for your family to engage in. But we also want to have times where we just have fun together, which is why we do things like a family fun night, like we're doing this next Friday, just to get together and have fun. Mom and Dad, your kids need to see you laugh. They need to see you play together just as much as you pray together. And we want to provide those environments. And we want to be there to celebrate along the way those spiritual markers like a parent-child dedication. You may have a child or someone in your family who's thinking about taking that next step in their faith. Maybe they've already put their faith, hope, and trust in Jesus, and they've received him as their Savior. And now they're thinking about baptism. In the art today, there's a little blurb, kind of a save the date. On Father's Day, we're going to have a special time of baptism. And so if that's a conversation that you're having with your kids or in your family, or you'd like to talk with somebody about that, know that Father's Day is on the horizon. And that'd be a great opportunity to take a next step in your faith if you've never followed Jesus in immersion baptism. If you'd like to talk more about that, would you fill out a little connect card and just tick that little box, I'd like more information about baptism, and put your contact information and I'll talk with you. I had a great conversation with a family this week, and we've already got one lined up for Father's Day. And his dad's going to be in the water with me to baptize his son. Well, is he ordained? No. Well, is he a licensed minister? No. Well, you're the pastor. No. His father is his pastor. His mother, the co-pastor. You're the primary disciple makers of your kids' lives. And Dad's going to be in the waters with me. Why? Because who knows where God's going to call me? Maybe he'll leave me here forever until he comes back. Glory to God if he does. But that child's father never gets called out of being his dad. And so when that young man has doubts about his faith when he's a teenager, Dad can sit there and go, oh, no. I was with you. We talked all about it. We went to Pastor David's office, and you told us all about how it was on April the 28th in your bedroom that you prayed and asked Jesus to be the Lord of your life and to forgive you of your sins. I was there for that conversation. I remember. And Dad, you get to pastor your kid. Why? Because you're the primary disciple maker in your home. Mom, you get to pastor your kid. Why? Because you're the primary disciple maker in your home. And I have the privilege, according to Ephesians, to equip and empower and entrust the gospel ministry to moms and dads in this room. There is no higher vocation than mom and dad. So on this happy Mother's Day, may we honor our moms in such ways that it will be a blessing to them and that it may go well with us. Because if mama ain't happy, say it with me, ain't nobody happy. You know enough Hebrew to get you through this world. And folks, that's a reality that's set in stone. Happy Mother's Day. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. Feel free to distribute this recording, but please do not sell or alter it in any way. For more information about Arapahoe Road Baptist Church, please visit our church website at arapahoeroad.org. Arapahoe Road Baptist Church is located at 2256 Arapahoe Road in Garland, Texas, with Sunday morning services at 9:30 a.m. Feel free to join us this week.